Okay, Simon Shin Mem Aleph. Sif Hey, big machlokas, big controversy. Right? This is all against the Rambam. Continuation. Mish, hey, calls Manchlo Nikbar Mace, Eno Cholitz Middle of a Sandal, Eno Chayva Tivis Arosh, Kfiyas Amita. Until the Kvura, which is when Avelu starts, he does not have to take off his shoes and he doesn't have to cover his head, which is what Avelim used to do, Alpi Ikar Din of Shas in the old days. And he doesn't have to overturn the beds, which is what Avelim used to do, Alpi Ikar Din of Shas in the old days. Aval Asr, Le Sheva Lishan Al Gabimita, Afilu Kfuya, but he can't sit or sleep on a bed, even if it is overturned. So before we get to that part, let's start with this end part. According to this, what's he saying? An onain doesn't have to kfiyas amita, tifus aros, but an onain is not allowed to sit or sleep on a bed. Has to sleep on the floor and has to sit on the floor. So this is interesting. It's a little bit mysterious. I checked like 5 modern day svarim, and they all say the same thing. They say nowadays we're not nohig this isser and aninos, and we don't know why. But Shulchan says, and I don't know why, and the Gesher Chaim says, and we don't know why. Okay. For some reason, I can't explain why. There's a lot of things that Menhagim are different than the Din, and I'm not sure why. Nowadays, an Onain sits on a chair and sleeps on a bed. Not sure why they don't do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, maybe because they think because it's not in the. No, because. I don't know. I really don't know.
Maybe because it's tied to the Kfiyas Amita?
But they. Davki's Patrim Kfiyas Amita, but still. So it seems to be, no, the opposite. So I don't know. I mean, it's a Maseches Svachos, Alvo Ravasi, which is quoted by the Rishonim, Sushan Arban. I don't know why we don't practice it nowadays, but okay. Well, that's the minute. The Rama continues. The Kolshkin Shasu Batash Amita. Kolshkin is an Isser of Tashna Mita. We already learned that in, I think, Sif Aleph, that even in Shabbos and Yontif, there is an Isser in Tashna Mita, Kolshkin, on weekdays. The Yesh Omrim, here's the Yesh Omrim. This is the big one. The Asr Rechitza Vesicha Vesimcha Vesheel Shalom Tzporos Vimlacha. Meaning, Asr in all the things in Avil is Asr in. Avil Mutter lets me say, so except he's allowed to leave his house, because obviously you have to leave your house, to take care of the mace. This is a big machlokes rishonim. The machlokes rishonim is basically, do the isuri avelus apply during aninus or not? Right? That is a very fundamental machlokes. The Rambam famously says, the isuri avelus do not apply during aninus. He brings a riot from David HaMelech that as soon as the baby died, who he was davening for, right, his first baby with Bathsheba, he got up and he washed and anointed, etc. So we see he was an onain then. We see that the Yisur HaVeilus don't apply during Aninos. Okay, not necessarily a proof because kings sometimes have different rules for these things. But that the Rambam and the Ritzkias agrees with him. And Tosos also seems to agree with him, right? The Torah quoted that Tosos also on the Daf seems to agree with him. So here we have Isurei Avelos during Aninos, says the Rambam most famously, and the Ritzkias and Tosos on the Daf says they do not apply. And the phrase that the Akronim use for this is Aninus l'chod v'avilus l'chod. Aninus has certain Yisurim which Avelus doesn't, like Basar Yayin. Avel's allowed to eat Basar and drink Yayin and doing mitzvos, and Avel's chayiv in all the mitzvos. And Avelus has certain Yisurim that Aninus doesn't. Two different things. This is a phrase that the Akronim use for this. Aninus l'chod Ve'avelus l'chod. They're two different systems. Why should one apply to the other? However, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Peretz, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Peretz, and the I mean the Smak. They quote the Smak. The Smak is Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz, that goes on the Smak, wrote a lot of things are in our Smak.
So here we have the Ramban and Rabbi Peretz, who's one of the Bali Tosos. So it's not like all Bali Tosos agree to this, right? So that's looking different than Tosos on the Daf and Rabbi Peretz, like the Tosos Rabbi Peretz. They say that they do apply. And they say that they do apply, and there are Ramah paskins that all these shiravelos do apply to an onen, meaning the onen can't like shave before the funeral and shower before the funeral. He can't like chop all the things for the Rambam. The onen should quick go and chop all the things he can't do when he's an ofel, right? He should shower and shave and change his clean clothing, whatever. For the Ramah paskin chumer that he can't. Even the mechat, yeah.
Is there a split between the Ramah's things and lying and sleeping on a bed? Meaning those two.
An oval's allowed to sleep on a bed. So that's a different. That's aninus lechud. What was I going to say? The mechaber is not clear which way he holds. What does he say? He says he doesn't have to take off his shoes and wrap his head and overturn his beds. Sounds like Avelos doesn't start, but he doesn't say, but he can bathe and anoint and cut his hair and wash his clothes, etc. So it's not so clear whether the Mechaber is, because, let me add one thing, do apply, except for Chalitzas Mino, Batifas Harosh, Fias Hamita, and Yitzia mi Pesach Peso, which is basically like collected from the Ramban, the last one added from the Smach, which is the Ravina Peretz. These are exceptions. So the Mechaber could go either way. He could be saying no Avelos applies, or he could be saying no, these parts of Avelos don't apply, the other parts of Avelos do apply, and then the Mechaber's agreeing with the Ramban. The Ramban's just elucidating more. L'maisa, Rav Avadya is machmer to assume that the Mechaber also agrees with Rama, and therefore, I don't know if all Sfardim, but at least many Sfardim are machmer on this as well. So that's how we paskin. We'll circle. That's how we paskin. This is the Rama. And again, many Sfardim assume that the Mechaber agrees as well, and therefore the Isurei Avelos kick in right away, and you can't like chop a haircut before the funeral. What about, do the Surah Avelos also apply, let's say, in between Aninus and Avelos? Let's say there's time in between Aninus and Avelos. Do the Surah Avelos also apply? So that Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes from, you can make this a lot more complicated if you look at the Rabbi Kiva Eger in the previous Sif. We won't get into that now. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sif Hay quotes something that was Mefurish, quoted also in Beis Yosef. By the way, here, if you want to, where do we get to the Mechaber of the Ramah? That's in the Pesach Tshuva Chaf Gimel. I am Tshuva Chassam Sofer Shekasav, that the Beis Yosef also agrees to the Ramah. That's why the Mechaber didn't say no Isur Mavelos applies. He just says these three don't apply. Okay, just Chassam Sofer doesn't mean all Sfardim agree, but many Sfardim do agree, and Rav Avadya is Machmer on this, at least, L'chadchila, like Chassam Sofer, that even Sfardim should be Machmer. If you're neither an onen nor an avel, what's an example of that? Remember Dalad, Masro Lakatofen, right? What if this could actually be? Let's say it's COVID, right? So what happens in COVID? The Chevra Kadisha tells the family, you don't do anything, you stay home. We'll take care of everything. There's nothing for you to do. So they're not owning him because they're basically in jail from COVID, right? If you remember, these things happened. And that maybe sometimes they go to the funeral. Many of them are not allowed to go to the funeral. And they're also not available because they're waiting for the burial. So they're in between the Yitz and Avelos. Masra l'katofim, so says Rabbi Kiva Eger, according to Ramban here, it's also in Beis Yosef. Afin nimsa l'katofim, demotav basa v'yayim, kol maka bidunim v'simcha asur, kein kasav ator b'shem haramban. It's still isur in idunim, in like pleasures and simcha. The assumption is that, what that means is that there is still the Shemar Avelos applying not only when he's an onen, when he's an onen, when he's in between onen and avil, and when he's an avil. Basically, from the death until the end of Avelos, all the Shurim of Avelos apply. So that's the halacha l'maisa, certainly for Ashkenazim and most Sfardim also.
Sorry, you addressed this already, but is that what do we do about when they're sending the meat on a plane to Israel, and are they in that middle period before the burial, or are they already in a burial time?
Ah, so we didn't get to that yet, but we'll see later on that, let's say they go to JFK Airport and send the meat on a plane to Israel, they actually start a velus then, so then we wouldn't have to get into this question. Exactly. This is if it's in town. This example would be more, let's say they're, you know what example this would be? Sometimes, you know, they have a funeral home and then they drive in America to the cemetery, which might be a 2-hour drive away. So sometimes they're old relatives who are too old to make the drive to the cemetery. So they go to the funeral home and then they go home. They don't start shiva yet because they're waiting for the burial, but they're not aninos anymore because they already turned their heads. So then they would still have to be in that middle situation. Okay, Lamaisa, I don't want to get into one other point that I'll get into some lumdus. We'll see this a little later. There's a Gilyan Marsha here, quotes of Chassam Sofer, of what about business? Normally an Ovel's not allowed to do business. How about the Ovel selling his business? Let's say the Ovel owns a big business. Not just, where he personally works. He owns a store. So what they did in Europe, what they do in America, maybe in Eretz Yisrael also, is you're not allowed to keep the Ovel store open during Avelus, even if other people work there. So what they do is they sell the store to someone else. Doesn't have to be a guy. Sell it to another Jew, and then he keeps the store open. Okay, that's the loophole.
Is that appropriate?
So that's what people do. Would it be better to close your store? Yes, but
what do you mean to sell a store? Do they get the profit? Like, who gets the profit?
What? The other guy gets the profit. If he wants to give it back to you as a matana, he can. And it was the minhag in Prague, we'll see later on, it was mamish, the minhag that when someone was dying, the gabbai, the kahal, would come to the deathbed and find the kid and say, let's do a Kenyan suitor that you're selling with your stores. So they keep it open during Shiva. So it's not, you know, something that's somewhat of an old minhag. How about selling the store during Aninus? Is that business you're not supposed to do because the Isser Avil will start? So the Gilyan Marsha quotes here from the Chassam Sofer, who says, Malach is one thing in Sasser. How about Limkor Chanus La'achar? It's selling your store. Ayin the Chassam Sofer, etc. He really thinks it's also to sell your store because that's business, but you shouldn't object to people. Well, my the minig is to be more making the chum sofer and sell the store during Anunus. Okay, there's a lot of lumdus here. What's the lumdus here? The lumdus here is that they think I'm using the labels, but they say no. Avelos. Basically, Anunus is part of Avelos. Aninus is part of Avelus. It's a part of Avelus that's more intense, but it's part of Avelus. The famous question everyone asks here is from the Sheet of the Rambam. We'll see. The Sheet of the Rambam is that Aninus is that Avelus is Doraisa. The first day is Doraisa. Why? What's the pasuk for the Rambam? V'achalti chatos hayom hayita v'ine Hashem. Remember last week's parsha, which is the din of aninus, to not be able to eat kachim. So the Rambam's a little funny. It doesn't work for the Shitase. The Rambam davka holds that the makar of Avelus is from the pasuk of aninus. So how could Avelus not apply during the time of aninus? That's a famous kasha that everyone asks on the Rambam, meaning the Rishonim already asked that on the Rambam, that the Rambam's on the wrong side here. Right, the Rambam says Avelus only starts after burial, but it's learned from a pasuk of Aninus, which starts right after the death. So the Rambam's at hot water here. The Rav has a famous answer, which I found also. All the most famous ones of the Rav, you can also find the Dibur Yechezkel. I haven't figured out why. Rav Yechezkel Borstein, he was a Ram in Slobodka.
Your cousin?
I haven't heard that they're related, and a big, big, big lamdan. We have it in the base. We have it in the base. It has great stories. It's just worth it for the stories The story Rav Huttner said that when Rav Huttner was a young bacher, I think in Slobodka, or maybe it was during World War I, and the Divrei Chesgel was an older ram.
and was stuck separated from his family on the wrong side of the front. So he couldn't go home to his family because it was on the other side of World War I. He can just like cross. So he slept in the dorms in Yeshiva. He slept in the dorms in Slobodka. And they thought it would be a good chat. The Altar Slobodka, if you knew how he worked, he was always, everything was machinations for everything. He said, this Huttner, this young kid, Eloy Huttner, put him with the Divrei Yecheskel, it'll make him great. So they put him as roommates. And he said, and the Altar Slobodka says, and work on this bacher. So the Divrei Yecheskel said, okay. So he said to Rav Huttner, he says, every night before we go to sleep, you have to come and feel a really hard kasha you got from your learning today. And then I'll answer it. Or we'll talk till we figure out the answer. So every night he would come with the hardest kasha. He would like it, like brought him to a higher level of learning every day. He had to have a good kasha for his guttel roommate. And Rav Huttner writes that he usually had an answer because, you know, he was the Divrei Yecheskel. Sometimes he had to like think for a little, they talked it out. Sometimes he didn't have an answer, they went to sleep. Rav Huttner says, many, many times at 3 a.m, someone's like going like this in my bed, holding a negelwasser, saying, quick wash, I have an answer to your question. I don't know how you could have been sleeping until now. I couldn't sleep. So he says, there you got musser of what it means to learn Torah. The Altar Slobodka is quite work because look at Rav Huttner, he came. And then Rav Huttner taught Relichtzi, then Relichtzi taught me, and now we're all here. So, that's a separate issue. I have like a list of famous Kiddushin the Rav there that are in the Divrei Yecheskel. So the Rav and the Divrei Yecheskel both say the famous Kiddush the Rav that he has in the Yahrzeit Shirim. He says, there's no Yisurim in Avelus. There's no Yisurim in Avelus. This is the most famous word of the Rav in Avelus. There are no Yisurim in Avelus. There's only a Kiyom, only a positive Asay Kiyom of Avelus, only Mitzvah Asay. It's not an Isra Asay, it's only Mitzvah Asay. Oh, you're not allowed to bathe, and you're not allowed to anoint, and you're not allowed to do laundry, and you're not allowed to work, and you're not allowed to cut your hair, etc., etc. It says, those are not Yisurim. Those are all Kiyumim. The Kiyom is a Kiyom belave of the experience of Avelus. The way to make that feeling your lave is to refrain from doing certain things physically. But since the Iker is the Kiyom belave, that Avelus is the Kiyom belave, and not the Maisa, therefore even the Maisim look like Shevi Altasa Yisurim, that's not the real Kiyom. The real Kiyom is the positive Kiyom inside, and therefore he says Avelus Mitzvah Saseh, and therefore the Rav says, now I understand why the Rama thinks it doesn't start to lift your burial, because you're potter from all Mitzvah Saseh, so Avelus is Chal, but you're potter from it, because you're potter from all Mitzvah Saseh. That was the Rav's, you can get a haircut, because it's only not having a Kiyom believe Mitzvah Saseh to get a haircut, and you're potter from Mitzvah Saseh because of Aninus. That was the Rav's Kiddush, which I also found in the Sefer Divrei Yecheskel. I almost always agree with all the famous words of the Rav. I actually don't accept this. I don't understand this part of the Rav at all. And only is Pachim from all the other mitzvahs I say because of Kavanah Mase and dealing with the mace. So also mitzvah Pachim and a mitzvah. But if these mitzvahs I say are about being mechabed the mace, then why should he be Pachim from them? Like he should not follow mitzvahs I say except for mitzvahs I say that has to do with mourning the mace. So I don't like that part of the Rav. I thought there could be a different part, that actually the Rambam is totally l'shitase. If the Rambam thinks that, because the Rambam also says that, you see how chamur the mitzvah avelus is? You know what the Rambam says? Kama chamuri mitzvah avelus? Someone finish the line? The Kiyas Rama? It says, what? The mitzvah avelus is so chamur that the Torah let a kohen be mitame, not only let, required a kohen to be mitame to his relative, to bury him. That's a coin being metame is before the burial, obviously. After the burial, the coin's not allowed to be metame, only until the burial. And the Rambam calls that mitzvah avelus. So what does the Rambam say? The mitzvah avelus is for the Kohen to be osek with the mason, be metame with him until the burial. Isn't the mitzvah avelus to like not cut your hair and not do work and not do all the other things for 7 days after the burial? Or midaraisa for 1 day after the burial. So I think shot in the Rambam is that the mitzvah of Avelus is a mitzvah saseh, davka on the day of death, both before and after the burial. And it's a svara that that mitzvah say is expressed differently before the burial and after the burial. Before the burial, there's a guf of the niftar. So the way to address that mitzvah say is by focusing on the niftar, like being osik of the niftar, like a coin being metame, and not being osik in other things and not getting distracted, etc., is to be osik of the niftar. You don't have to. Until the burial, there's no need to refrain from halacha and all these other things, because you're osik. The mitzvah is to be osik with the niftar. How are you osik with the niftar? Until he's buried, by physically being osik with the body. After he's buried, by feeling sad about it. Until he's buried, the mitzvah is the physical isuk. After he's buried is the emotional isuk. And therefore, until he's buried, there's no need for all these other servings. You have a physical isuk with the body. After he's buried, then there's a need to refrain from washing and bathing and anointing and doing laundry, etc., because that's the only way you can be osik with your mace at this point, because there's no actual physical body to be osik with. It's like a second level of isuk of the mace, and that's my pshat in the Rambam. You could like my pshat in the Rambam. You could like the Rav's pshat in the Rambam. Well, you can make your own pshat in the Rambam.
Complementary. They work together.
They can work together. Okay, anyway, that's something to think about over Bein Hazmanim. Now we will finish up the halachos. Halacha Vav has nothing to do with the novel whatsoever. It is regular, old, plain, vanilla, osig mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Ha-meshavar sha-meisa afal pi afilu she'enu meiso, patur min kriyashma kol mitzvah ha-amurus b'torah, ha-yushnaim zem ha-shavar z'akum. Someone's being shamar meis, doing shmir on a meis, they're patur from all the mitzvahs. Because osig mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, has nothing to do with whether they're related or not. Someone has to guard the meis. Why do you have to guard the meis? Because if you don't guard the meis, what will happen?
Mice.
Animals will eat them. Such as mice or whatever. That's example in Gemara, right? So therefore, he's patur min ha-mitzvah. If there are two guys, then they take shifts. It's a big question. How about nowadays when people do shmir on the mace? Nowadays people do shmir on the mace, like it's kavod ha-mace, that you have someone like with the mace all the time, or like outside the compartment where the mace is. If the mace is in the refrigerator, you don't go in the refrigerator, then you'll also be a mace soon. You stand outside. How about, are you patur min ha-mitzvah? I think it's mekubal among, from what I've heard from modern day rabbanim, that nowadays, even though the minhag is for kavod ha-mace to have shmira on the mace, it's not real shmira, because he's locked in a safe place, like animals can't eat him. It's more of just like a kabbalistic kavod for the mace. And therefore, even though we consider it a big mitzvah, and we're not mazalz on how big the mitzvah is, lemaisa, let's say the time for the sun's about to set, and the guy's being shomer the mace, and he's standing like, you know, being shomer the mace. Again, I don't mean a guy died in the middle of a forest and you're shomer the body so that animals don't eat him. That's the case of the Gemara. I mean, now that you're shomer in the morgue. In that case, you should still get up and daven mincha. You could be at your place. Get up and daven mincha at your place, because it's not a mitzvah. It's, even though it's a big kavod ha-mace, it's not a full mitzvah because it's not really physically necessary.
You can avoid daven with a minyan.
What?
You can avoid daven with a minyan. You can daven outside the...
Yeah, you can daven there. You don't have to go to minyan. The mitzvah is worth davening with Jesus.
Is usbi mitzvah part of the same as tira of the mitzvah?
They're subtly different. How they're subtly different, we discussed in Gemara Shira when we learned Sukkah. Were you in YU yet?
No.
Okay. Okay. We can talk about that later. Okay. Viter. We're now skipping around a little to Shin Mem Dalad. Or Shin Dalad Mem if you are, more mystically inclined. Superstitious, at least. Okay. Shin Mem Dalad. Chiyava Hesped. Vigodol Tzchor V'Ketzal M'Yaspidim. Mitzvah Gedola L'Hasvedol Meis Karoi. Big mitzvah to be maspid a mace. Big mitzvah to be maspid a mace. I had a case recently. I hope I was maspid the mace karoi. Pause it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, umitzvaso shiurim kol lomer dvar hamashabes halev. You have to raise your voice and say things that break people's heart. The harbos bechia. I mean, the real kiyum is to make people cry. Ulahasker shivcho, and to praise him. Two things to make people cry and to praise him. I want to come back to that. But also, hafling shachri yosumi died. You can't exaggerate too much. Like, you can't just like make everyone into the biggest tzaddik in the world and lie legamre. Ella, and not only can't you do it, but it says in the I don't know if it's in Yeah, it says later on in the Sif. We'll get to it in a second. LMSQ, Midos Tovos Shabbos. You mentioned Midos Tovos, almost Sif Meksas. You exaggerate a little. Raksal Yafli, but you don't exaggerate too much. And if he had nothing good, then you can't make something up. All you can do is exaggerate a little. You can't make things up. The Chachm Chazmans, Hirn, Chachmas, Chazidusim, you both someone's Chachman, they're Chazidus. And it's really bad to lie or to exaggerate too much. If you make something up or exaggerate too much, then it causes minashamayim, evil for the mace and evil for you. While we're talking about something a little more mystical, the Taz here quotes in the Yerushalmi that until the burial, the mace can hear everything you're saying about him. So therefore, you got to be careful when you do your hesped because the mace is listening. Of course, the interesting question, the interesting lumdish question here is, why are you allowed to exaggerate a little? Like, why not just be honest? Since when do people even lie? Why can you exaggerate a little? Anyone have a hesber? There's one hesber on the daf, and you can probably think of another one or two.
You can't know everything that he did, so you presume if he was a kosher person, he did more.
Okay, maybe. The Taz says a little further than that. What does the Taz say a little further than that? The Taz says everyone would have done a little more than they did if it had worked out. Think about it. You know, a guy gave $1 million to tzedakah. He wouldn't even $5 million. But anyone who gave $1 million to tzedakah, if someone had brought him the right opportunity, he would have given $1.2 million to tzedakah. Right? Anyone who, you know, missed minyan twice a year, if things had just worked a little better, he would have missed minyan no times a year. Right, so therefore, a little anyone who learned, you know, 2 hours a day, you know, if the, you know, the commute, if there had been less traffic, you would have learned 2.5 hours a day. Doesn't mean you would have learned 12 hours a day. And therefore, he's saying, really, everyone really would have done a little more than they did, and it was just bad luck. And therefore, they get credit for what they really wanted to do. You can't say a guy who learned 2 hours a day wants to learn 14 hours a day. A guy who learned 2 hours, they want to learn 2.5 hours a day. That's the Taz's Hesber. The Bach has a different Hesber. If you look on the Bach thing, he says, really, it's a Gzeira. What's worse, Aveira? To exaggerate a little too nice about the mace or not good enough about the mace? The bigger Aveira would be not good enough. The bigger Aveira to insult the mace than to praise him too much. And therefore, says the Bach, it's a Gzeira. You should exaggerate a little so that if you miss, you'll still get the exact truth. Because if you try to say the exact truth, if you mess up, you might say too little, and therefore it's better to err on the side of being too nice than on the side of not nice enough. That's what he wants to say. I thought you could say a different pshat, which I saw. It's a deal, yeah?
Isn't it just like pashat pshat in like language when people say things?
Yeah, because of the context? I found in one of the Achronim called the Divrei Sofrim here, which is like the Bnei Shulchan, published before the Bnei Shulchan. That he says, really, it's just a matter of how people speak. Everyone exaggerates a little. And therefore, if you're, it's like shidduchim. Someone asks you and you're like, say exactly objectively, then you're insulting them because they'll say, they'll assume, they always take a little off. They assume whatever you say, it's a little less than that. Because they know everyone exaggerates. They know everyone exaggerates a little. And therefore, since they know everyone exaggerates a little, if you're honest, they'll actually think he's less than that. And you'll be lying. So the only way to tell the truth is to exaggerate a little so that everyone in their heads will know that if they subtract 10%, that's what they get.
Isn't it two exaggerations for it instead of one?
No, everyone takes 10% off what I say. So I have to add 10%. So when they take 10% off in their minds, they'll get the truth.
There will still be 10% left because the stam's 10%, and now you're adding 10%, so you have 20.
No, I only add what's the stam.
No, but the stam is that people exaggerate, I'm saying.
No, so that's what I should do. It just means I should follow the stam. I shouldn't just follow the stam. Okay, those are three asbeirim. In any case, that's our minhag. You can't make things up. You can't go crazy. You can't make a joke out of it, but you can exaggerate, and you should exaggerate a little. Beis, kishen, shemaspidim al hanoshim, kach maspidim al hanoshim, karoi lehem. Meaning there's no gender differences in hesped, your masped. We don't say it's not sneeze to be masped a woman. You masped a woman, and you don't only have women come to the funeral, you masped a woman, and the men and even the chashiv people, the chachamim, are supposed to come to the funeral to give the same kavod to the women as to the men. Gimel, yeah.
There's no deal, kirei lahen, which means don't exaggerate. Like,
no. It's kashem.
What's the assumption here? The assumption is that once a man's wife died, sometimes, depending how the marriage was, he might say, she's not really my blood relative, now we're not married anymore, and not care about her. And therefore, it's a din. It's really an Eben Ha'ezer din of marital financial relations. That the husband is chayav to bury his wife. That's one of the dinim in the ksuba. And he's not just chayav to bury his wife to make sure she gets into the ground. He's chayav to give her the full, regular, accepted mechubet funeral. Even in the old days, we don't have such thing. They used to hire women to wail and cry at the funeral called mekonos. They would sing a very wailing kind of dirge and make everyone cry. We're very far from that nowadays in our funerals. But basically it says whatever is accepted normal, the husband has to pay for. And if he doesn't want to, then her family could lay out the money and then sue him for it.
Back on the bed, are women allowed to be masfet?
Are women allowed to be masfet? It doesn't discuss anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think there's a special rule, but what?
So the Shulchan read that into the Ramah as in, oh, that it's not below the covet of the Chamim to have women also give haspedim.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Take chiddush. Anyway, lemaisa, from what I understand, are women allowed to be masked? But it's similar to the question, are women in general allowed to speak in front of men? And the answer is, in some communities, the men, I guess, that it's not sneakiest for women to speak in front of men. In some communities, the men, I guess, that it is sneakiest for women to speak in front of men. So it depends on your community. I don't think, you know. Whatever, maybe I'm not a big enough feminist, but, you know, I think community norms are community norms and, you know, have to be respected. If someone comes to me and says, you know, I can't believe it, you know, my brother, who's a Satmar Chassid, died and they wouldn't let me be masped him at the funeral, I'm like, okay, that's their minhag. You know, you have to respect their minhag, and maybe it would be improper for them to violate their minhag. Okay, I think in a lot of our shuls, the minhag is that they do allow women to be masped. In Yerushalayim until like 10 years ago they didn't, and now they do. Dalit katan ben kama shana yekshem haspidu lov. How old is a kid have to be to deserve a hesped? Aniyim bnei chamisha ashirim bnei shisha. Very fascinatingly, poor 5 years old, rich 6 years old. Why? Because I know this is going to sound a little weird, but it's, you know, certainly once upon a time is very true. You know, the poor people have nothing in life but their kids. So even if the kids sit, so it's a bigger tragedy compared to the rich people. And therefore, even at 5 years old, and Bnei Zaken and Kanani, and if someone only had kids when they were old, then it's also, it's more tragic. Aval Tzidik HaDin V'Kadosh Amor Al Tinu Shavu Shal Shinyom, but Tzidik HaDin, and which is a tefillah you have at the cemetery, they say nowadays we have a poem of Tzedek HaDin. I don't know if the Sfarim have the same thing. I think they might. Hatzor Tzimim Pa'alo, etc. Which is basically saying Tzedek HaDin. Hashem is a tzaddik, and his din is just. And Kaddish, we say even after 30 days when he's no longer Safek Nefel, meaning when he's a full human being. The Ramah says, Ve'enu Egin Kenel She'i Bin Yud Be'is Chodesh, Yetzim Mita, Kalakaman, etc. We say no, only Tzedek HaDin for Kaddish at 1 year old, because and only 1 year old gets a coffin or a mita. Until then, under 1 year old, you just carry him and carry the baby lo alein in your arms. Only 1 year old gets tzidikin and kaddish. However, the shach says in Gimel Vikan in Lublin we go to do the mechaber ukedumali b'shar kihilos nogin chin rolin. He said here in Lublin we do like the mechaber even though we're Ashkenazim. And I'm pretty sure other towns also do that, and that's the right thing to do. So nowadays, the Minig Ashkenaz is not like the Ramah. Nowadays, the Minig Ashkenaz is like the Mechaber, like the Shach, the Mechaber, that from 30 days, we would do Tzedek HaDin and Kaddish, but Hesped is only from 5 or 6 years old. Nowadays, every place I've been, Lo Aleinu, the Minhag is that they say Hespedim, even if they're younger than 5 or 6 years old, even for babies, they say Hespedim. It could be, I once asked Rav Lichtenstein, he said, he thought the reason is because even though really Alpid's din of the Gemara, you're potter from saying hespedim for kids under 5 or 6 years old, but the world has changed. Once upon a time, Yeah, like, you know, I don't know, a decent fraction of kids, I don't know, a third, a quarter, a fifth, whatever, they died in childhood, and it wasn't like pasha that a kid would grow up. Because it was normal for a lot of kids to die in childhood. And therefore, there's less of a chiyuv of hesped nowadays. Obviously, no one knows from what tomorrow will bring. But derech hateva, someone has a baby, and it's a healthy baby. Everyone expects derech hateva them to grow up. Like, why not? We don't live in the old days anymore. And therefore, it's more tragic nowadays when a baby dies in the old days, and that's why we are a maspid. So the meaning nowadays that they are maspid. Rav Lichtenstein, I heard him say twice at funerals of babies, lo aleinu, that he says, Vayavar Avram lispod lisaravel of kosa. There's hesped and bechi. What does hesped mean as opposed to bechi? And go back to the machaber. Laharbos bechi o lahaskir shivcho. To make people cry and to be mishabeach. And Rav Lichtenstein said, he said, look, these two don't always go together. The older someone is, the more l'hazker shivcho, and the less bechi. I mean, you shouldn't die if someone's 100 years old. You'd cry if someone dies at 100 years old. But how much is everyone going to cry when someone died at 100 years old? You know, it's just different. You know, I was at a shiva house recently where, you know, someone, you know, died, you know, in their 90s and, you know, really in a very, you know, proper way, et cetera, et cetera. And it's sad. You wish they'd lived to 100. But it's hard to say it's tragic. On the other, you know, so there's not so much bechi. There's a ton of hesped. Look, a whole lot, you know, you have 90 years worth, 100 years worth, 80 years worth of things to say. The younger someone is, the less hesped. If a baby dies and they wonder, what are you going to say? Like, oh, you know, he had a cute face. You can say that, but there's a little, like, he didn't do anything. There's less hesped, but there's a lot more bechi because it's not the derech olam and the whole life ahead of him. So the younger someone is, the more bechi and the less hesped. The older someone is, the more hesped and the less bechi. Unfortunately, sometimes there are people who, like the chayilim, etc., who are mamish at the peak of both. Lo aleinu. But I think that's a good insight, that even though nowadays the minhag is, it's not the same kind of hesped. You don't talk about how great and wonderful they are and go on telling stories about their legacy. You talk more about how sad it is. Maybe we will... the rest of these se'ifim are not necessarily things that are so alachal ma'isi, either they're common sense or the b'nei Hashim nechachamot tzivim k'tas al shevach ma'aseihem. You know, people who come from a choshev family, you have to, you know, add a little the out of cover of their families. Out of cover to their families, and I think also because people expect it. Vav tinok shedesh lisim lesbinusom ma'asi atzma, basically a kid who is old enough to do business, not because of the business, just old enough to interact, then you talk about all the great things he did. And if not, you talk about how great his family is. Zayin HaKalim HaSpinos. What? The minhag nowadays, from what I've seen, is that when little kids die, they do talk about, you know... truth is, I've not seen so much people do Maisei Avosav and Maasei Krovav. I don't know why. Maybe it's just like, you know, is not like, would not impress people as much nowadays. Like, people aren't going to cry because they're such a hush of family. We live in a more egalitarian society. That's a good question. Not sure. Zayin akalo aspinus of mesavivim. Right, when a married woman dies, then you talk about how chashiv, whichever was more chashiv. Ches have a chutav and source on a phalem. Chutav and source means someone who came out of the womb already chopped up, or messed up, or a nafel. There are all kinds of nafels. Uben shmono or in the eighth month, basically stillborn, became in tisha meis, whether it's just born prematurely and couldn't survive, or born at full term but born dead.
Sorry, Zion versus Beis. Zion, Beis was not a married woman?
What?
Or a woman who just got married? What's Zion?
No, Zion is just talking about. If you want to mention the family, a married woman, which family do you talk about? Beis was general, you're masvid. Uh-huh. But when you're masvid, you only talk about how chashuv their family is. Again, nowadays, we live in a world where, look at that, Dom to the door of Yan Chulin. He says people don't appreciate Yichus anymore. He was Hungarian. So we live in a world where, at least in our world, I don't know about all parts of Orthodox Judaism, where people don't appreciate Yichus much anymore. And
you know, I don't know if I've been to so many funerals where people praise the mace by saying how great their ancestors were, how great their yechus is. But if you do, then she gets both yechuses. That's a general rule. Meaning the same rule applies as when she's alive, right? When a married woman is alive and meva esrim, whose kavod does she get? Her family's or her husband's family's? What's the din?
Greater.
Whichever one is greater. What's the drasha? Ola imo v'enu yoredes. Right? Meaning, if she grew up rich, then her husband has to buy her a big house. And if she grew up poor, but her husband grew up rich, he has to buy her a big house. She gets the best, whichever is greater. Like goes when she dies, she gets whichever yichus is greater. Okay, ches. There's no hesped in Levaya for a stillborn or a miscarriage or for a guy or for an Eved Kanani. No hesped in Levaya. Tosus points out that, the Shach points out, you still have to bury, but bury without a Levaya. That's what they do nowadays. I mean, Ovdei Kochavim doesn't come up quite as much because usually the Ovdei Kochavim bury the Ovdei Kochavim. So we don't have to worry about it. But Eved Kanani we don't have nowadays, but stillborn miscarriage, what happens if someone in the hospital in Yerushalayim, Lo'aleinu, was stillborn or miscarriage, they send an email, whatever, to the Chevra Kadisha, who has an office in the hospital, and they come and they pick up the baby and they bury him in the cemetery, same cemetery as everyone else, but without a funeral. That is Sif Ches. Sif Tes.
Do you like mark it off?
No, they do not mark it off.
In regards to Ovdei Kochavim, let's say, you know, one is part of a community and there's a chashuv non-Jewish person in the community and they want you to be mafkid them because you're...
No, so there's no chiyuv of hesped for a guy, but there could be a chiyuv because of Darkei Shalom, because of getting along with the community. Then you would.
Just for a stillborn miscarriage, so later, so did the family go to the cemetery? Or
no. I'm talking about the sort of Orthodox minhag. There was a bagatz about this, Israeli Supreme Court, that said that the parents have the right to make whatever arrangements they want, even if it's not the traditional way things are done. So there's a legal right to do otherwise, but the from people generally do it the traditional way. No, the Chevra Kadisha buries. They even give the baby a name and a bris mila. Basically, they do everything which is necessary al pisod for tchias hamesim. But there's no, like, the things that are not al pisod, the things that are just al pi, al pi avelos, and then there's no kever to visit, and the family doesn't go to the funeral, and it's just done by the Chevra Kadisha.
I believe there's also a minhag to give the baby like an unusual name, like Bila or Zilpa or something like that.
Yeah, so there's in some places they give the boys the name Mesushelach, although the Rabbi Vidasa Hospital someone just asked me, says we don't give Mesushelach nowadays. He didn't say what they do give. There's often a minhag to give an unusual name, but there are different minhagim about this. So there's also a minhag that give them a little like Chaim or something for Tzvi Samesim.
If the family wants to go, they shouldn't go.
If the family wants to go, look, it's not the minhag. It's always hard to tell when you're violating the minhag and when you're just doing things differently than they did in the old. It's always very subtle. When are you going against the minhag and you're being reform, or when are you doing things different than they do in the old days? Not everything they did in the old days is a minhag. Some things they do in the old days is just a no-hug. So it's very hard to tell these things. My intuition is that the minhag is really not to go. The minhag is to separate, as it were. Wherever you separate is going to be bad because death is always bad, including miscarriage. But the minhag is that they separate in the hospital and then they sort of cut the investment at that point, the emotional investment at that point. I that's my intuition. I can't really say I know.
No, the first thing, they don't wait 8 days, right?
No, they don't wait 8 days. They just at the kever. At the kever, they do bris mila for a boy, and they give a name for a girl or a boy, and then they bury. But they don't mark off the grave. That's the minute. Okay, Tess. Yorkshim Shina Rotson Lefor Skars Paydim Otsime Yam Bal Korcham. Let's say the kids, ingrates, they don't want to pay for the hesped. Then the answer is we make them pay against their will. Although, just to be fair, what's the caveat in the In the Shachs of Katan Zayin, he points out that's only if there's an estate, if there's a Yerusha. If there's no Yerusha, then we can't force them. But if there's an estate, we force that. Then we take it from the estate. This is a nafkamina of a Hakir in the Gemara. What's the Hakir in the Gemara? What's the Hakir in the Gemara? Is Hesped. Exactly. Is Hesped Yakra Dachaye? For the Yakaris is covered. Covet of the relatives or Yakra Deshechve? For the covet of the dead person. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is if the Yorshim say, I don't want to spend money on a Hesped. Right? I don't want to hire someone to come give a Hesped. In those days, I guess it was more recommended to pay someone to come give a hesped. They're professional maspidim. I don't know if nowadays you have to pay a rabbi to come give a hesped. I don't know if it depends if you're a member of shul or not. I don't know. They don't want to pay for a hesped. So if it's their kavod, then they have the right to be involved in their own kavod. If the mace is kavod, how can they take the money of the mace in the inheritance and not pay for his kavod? So that's a nafkamina. One nafkamina is lo ratzu yorshem. If it's Yikr Dechaye, then they don't have to. But if it's Yikr Dechaye, then we force them to pay. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's Yikr Dechaye, it is for the covet of the dead person, therefore they have to pay. Of course, what's the flip side, Nafkamina? What's the like exact opposite mirror image, Nafkamina? If
the mace doesn't want to be masked.
Exactly. If the mace said no hesped. You know, there are a lot of people who do this. You ever go to a funeral? And sometimes, usually it's only like big rabbis or something. Like people aren't so big, like they want to finally get some praise. The big rabbis, people praise them enough their whole life. They're sick of it by now. So they don't want. So sometimes I've been to a levaya where they say the nifter asked that we not be masked. So do you have to listen to him or not? So if it's for the Yikr Dechaye, for the family, right? What right does he have to insult the family? Then we're still masped. But if it's for his own kavod, then we should not do his maiden. So what is the Shulchan Aruch paskin in Yud? Mishat Tziva Shalis Bedu Shomelo. That's consistent. We paskin Yikr Dechaye. Therefore, if he says no esbedim, then we don't listen to him. And then you have the famous maisa, give me a second, from the funeral of the Pnei Yoshua. When the Pnei Yoshua died, he wrote in his will, no esbedim. And the no de Behuda got up, and guess what? And was masped him. No de Behuda got up and was masped him, and he says, no, that's only a regular person who says, don't be masped me. But a gadol hador, his covet is the covet of the Torah and the covet of Am Yisrael. And therefore, he has no right to be mochel. Meaning, at a certain point, a public figure does not have bailus on his own life anymore, even his own death. And that's a machlokes in the Pesach Tshuva. What about gadol hador? He quotes from the Beis Yaakov and the No de Behuda that you shouldn't listen. But the Chuv Me'ava said that you should listen. Okay, quotes machlokas. The minig is that I guess they decide on a case by case basis. But in the minig is that you don't have to listen if the Nodi Hud is master with the Yoshua. Then if a gadol hador dies, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. I guess depends who they ask. But either way is valid. So you shouldn't be surprised if you go to the funeral of gadol hador, who said not to be masped, and they're masped anyway. They're just emulating the no de Behuda.
I'm sure we'll talk about this question when it comes to the later parts of Avedu, but for the parts we've already done for Kriya and Aninu, is it subject to this? Who is it about, or is it just a totally different question?
It is, and we'll get to that very, very soon. But before we get that very big nafkamina, avol tziva shlo linogal of shivug zir shloshim ain shomelo. If he's mochel hespedim, we listen. But if he's mochel shiva and shloshim, then we do not listen. And this is very why? Seemingly because shiva and shloshim is for the covet of the relatives. Yeah, that people should come to menachem them, and that people should recognize their sadness. So therefore, he has no right to be vater. We don't listen. This is very controversial, though, because when it comes to hesped, what's a novenafkamina? Yeah?
Just, even if it's up to them, But that just puts it up to them. Meaning, if the mate says, don't do Shivan Shloshim for me. If the person says, I'm doing it anyway, he's doing it anyway. If the person says, okay, I'm not going to do it, that means they don't care about it either.
The whole family, you
mean? Yeah, the rest of the family is saying, we're not going to do it because our father said not to. That means we're chill about it. The relatives are saying.
No, it means they're respecting his wishes. Okay, maybe so they're saying, I would have liked to, but I'm respecting your wishes.
Let's say he says, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want.
It's an interesting question. But it's still, there's such thing as mechila. If he's mochel, he's mochel. If you're mochel, then I can disrespect you, then I can disrespect you. There's another nafkamina here. What about if the mace was a Russia? Right? If the mace was a Russia. So do you maspid him or not? If it's for the, you cover the family, you still feel cover the family. So what would you guess we were paskin? Exactly. There's no hesped. Right? Which is exactly what we paskin shimn and hay. That there's no hesped for Russia. Why? Because it's for his kavod, and he, not that he was mochel's kavod, but he forfeited his kavod by his actions. Now, here's the interesting question. How about Shiva and Shloshim? How about Shiva and Shloshim? Is it for the kavod of the Chayim or the kavod Hamesh? You would think you'd have two nafkaminas. What are the two nafkaminas? Nafkamina, if the mace was mochel, he said, hey, you don't have to sit shiva for me. I don't want to matriach anyone. You don't have to sit shiva for me. You don't have to keep shloshim for me. Just go on with your normal life. So if it's for the kavod chai, then you should say they should still sit shiva and shloshim. And then if it's the kavod mace, they're potter. He was mochel. And what does the Ramah say? They should still sit. The problem is, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger here points out, he says, this in the Mari Weil quoted in the Darki Moshe, and he says, what was the Lashon? He says that, I'm not sure, is it Yikra Dechaye, Yikra Deshechvi, I'm not sure. He says, but you can't just be Mevatel Avelus. So he's Machmir. He says, but that doesn't make sense based on Simon Shimim Hay. In Shimim Hay, we say, if someone is a Russia, what if the mace is a Russia? That should also be an Afkamina. And if it's for Kavod HaChayim, you should still sit Shiva and Shloshim. And you know what we pask in Shimim Hay? No Avelos. Okay, now we have, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, of Astira. How could, this is the Ramah in Shin Mem Daled, and this is the Shulchan Aruch from Chaver and Ramah. No one disagrees about this in Shin Mem Hey. So now we have a problem. It's a machlokes Rishonim in Shin Mem Hey, between the Ramban and the Ramban. But the way we paskin, meaning if we paskin otherwise, that would be fine. This is the Ramban.
What's the covenant if it's Russia?
What?
What's the covenant for the people who are alive if it's Russia?
They lost their father! We have to come be menachem to them. They're sad. Their father died. Who cares if the father's of Russia? Yeah. Yeah, no. So here Rabbi Akiva Eiger is very bothered by this, and he says, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban sosur himself in the Shulchan Aruch, Mineu Bei. It doesn't work out, and therefore he says that it doesn't make any sense, and really it's just a machlokas later on. How are we passing later on? We should pass in here. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. No, we should pass in here also. Your potter if he was mochel, because we have to be consistent with the chakira. But all the other achronim say no. If you look at the Darkei Moshe, what does he say? He says, I'm not sure if it's Yikra D'chai Yikra Shifvi, and then says, it's an asmachta in the Pasuk for Shiva and Shloshim, right? Where's the asmachta in the Pasuk? There's asmachtas the Gemara brings, Pesukim for Shiva and Shloshim. There's asmachtas in the Pasuk, and he says, you can't be mochel, because them can't be taltal kol dini avelos. How can you just be mevatel avelos?
So say the other achronim, such as the Levosh and the Chachmas Adam, they say no. The Ramah here had a new reason. There's a reason that Ramah crossed lines. He had a new reason. What was his new reason? His new reason was that En Achanami, this sort of Rekiva Eger, accuses him of. But how do we defend Ramah? How do I defend the Ramah without another color? How do you defend the Ramah? By saying a finish. It's Yikra D'Shechvi, but it's an Asmachta from the Torah. It's Yikra D'Shechvi, but it's a mitzvah. It's a Yikra D'Shechvi, a Yikra D'Shechvi, which became its own mitzvah, which became a mitzvah. And therefore, what's the Nafkamina? It's a Yikra D'Shechvi, which was concretized into a mitzvah. And therefore, what does he say? He says, when the Mace is a Rasha, it's usher to give him kavod, and therefore you're potter. When the Mace is a Tzadik, just was Mochel, then that means you can't be Vatli Nevelos. He deserves kavod. He was Mochel as kavod. He can't be Mochel as kavod because this kavod was concretized as a mitzvah. That seems to be the Chiddush to defend the Ramah. That's what basically, this is the, if you look in the Lush here, or in the Chachmas Adam, they defend the Ramah, and therefore, if the mace is a Rasha, then it's Asur Lechavdo, so there's no Avelos. But if the mace is Kasher, Umachal Shiva Vishloshim, then Kevan Dechal Mitzvah, Efshar Limchol Mitzvah. Basically, once he deserves kavod, it gets concretized as a mitzvah, and once it's a mitzvah, you have to do a mitzvah. It's not nitzal mechila. Now, many mitzvahs are nitzal mechila. Keep it as a mitzvah, and you can be mochel it. A priest malchol is a mitzvah, and you can be mochel it. Hashem has made it a mitzvah, and you can be mochel it. But says no, this became more of a ritual mitzvah. A mitzvah is mas, and you can't be mochel it. It's a big chiddush this Ramah. Rabbi Kiva Eger is much smoother. He's like, no, say whatever you say there. You want to say you're masped a Rasha, so you're also masped someone who is mochel. You want to say you're not masped a Rasha, so you're not masped someone who is mochel, because it's his business. It's the dead guy's business. But we paskin like the Ramah. We follow the Ramah. We don't follow Rabbi Kiva Eger. We follow the Ramah. And say that you can't be mochel avelos. So that's what we say. Even if the dead guy wrote it as well, please don't sit Shiva and Shloshim for me. We sit Shiva and Shloshim anyway. What? Yeah?
Just in terms of the mitzvah aspect, it's not his mechila. It's not his mitzvah. So he's not being mocha on the mitzvah. The mace is a mechila. It's not his mitzvah. So it's really...
Exactly. It's a mitzvah on the krovman. He can't be mocha. Even though it's for his kavod, he can't be mocha their mitzvah.
Forget a mitzvah. I can be mocha on your anything. It's not my...
No, but if my mitzvah is to give you something, you can be mocha. If you're my father and it's Miki mitzvah, keep it of a aim, you can be mocha. Right? If I find your lost object and I have a mitzvah to give it to you, you can be mochel. So usually you can be mochel a mitzvah if it's to do something for you. The chiddush here is that even though the mitzvah is only mechavid him, it became concretized a maisa mitzvah independently. It got independent status, and therefore it can't be mochel.
Given this, why can't it be mochel yud bechodesh?
Ah, so what do we see here? What's the diuk in the Ramah? Of course, which the Pesachei Teshuva points out, that... Oh, by the way, it's not just Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Pesachei Teshuva Beis also says the Iyon Yaakov, which is written by the Shvos Yaakov. Who's the Shvos Yaakov? That's the Baal Torah Hashlamim from the first part of this year. He wrote a lot of very chashuv svarim. He also agrees with Rabbi Kiva Eger, and then the Teshuva Me'ava disagrees with him. So Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Iyon Yaakov. We'll put him in here also, which is the Torah Hashlamim. Anyway, but what was I going to say? How about Yud Beis Chodesh? Right? So everyone agrees you can be Mochel Yud Beis Chodesh. That's already the Shach. Says, why say Shivan Shloshim? And if you look inside Mary Watt, it says Shivan Shloshim because that's for all relatives. You can't be Mochel. Yud Beis Chodesh, only for Avaim you can be Mochel. What's the Svara? Shivan Shloshim is just an objective mitzvah.
because it applies to all relatives. But kivud ha'im is only for parents, so it's clearly only kivud ha'im to the. Sorry, yud beis chodesh is only for parents, so it's part of kivud ha'im. And kivud ha'im, you can be mochel. It's not really part of avelus. It's an addition to avelus because of kivud ha'im. That's the lundus. It's an addition to avelus because of kivud ha'im. Therefore, you can be mochel, and that's how we paskin. We paskin yud beis chodesh. You can't be mochel. It's only within kivud ha'im. And I actually know people whose father, before he died, wrote them a letter saying, I'm mochel yud beis chodesh.
Including Rosh Chachter.
According to Chachter, right.
What?
Rosh Chachter.
Rosh Chachter apparently thought that everybody did that. According to the way that I heard the story.
Rosh Chachter's father. Right, Rosh Chachter's father is mochel, correct? So that's totally legit, even though it sounds a little weird. It is actually legit to be mochel, Yud Beis Chodesh. But I think most people don't do it. I think it's still a niche kind of practice. But it is halachically legitimate. Yes,
you know. Is there any discussion about the ethics and morality of like being mochel on your hespedim or on your biskut?
This is the discussion. Whose kavod is it, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, since we're paskin that it is your right to do it, the question is, should you do it?
Aha, so here's an interesting question. My feeling, the answer is that no one should feel pressure to be mochel on their kavod in these things. I don't know where the discussion of this. What would Arya say? Use your common sense. Given that, sorry, it was Arya Bednar's.
The issue is that if everybody starts doing it, then it becomes a problem.
Then it becomes maybe a social pressure to do it, etc. Okay, right now it's still a niche kind of mechila. Another fascinating question, and then we'll go on, is the end of Pesukei Teshuvah Aleph, Teshuvas Avni Shoham. If someone told this kid not to say Kaddish for him, they're potter from Kaddish. Again, this is Rav Schechter's father didn't say this. Rav Schechter, classic. This is the most Rav Schechter story ever. That Rav Schechter was on a plane and he didn't join a minyan, say Kaddish on a plane because he holds that minyan is not dochem ben lachaver and you're disturbing the other people on the plane, etc. And he probably holds his gezel on like the space in the plane that you're not supposed to be there. And so he didn't say Kaddish for father when he was on the plane. And someone asked him afterwards, like, hey, why didn't you have a minyan? He said, by the way, this is not just Rav Schechter that kosher shalom zam, you shouldn't make a minyan on a plane either.
I know that Rav Moshe has seen the only time the entire year that he missed Kaddish for his father was because he was on.
Okay, so he followed Rav Schechter, but he didn't have the line Rav Schechter had because he doesn't have it in him. So they said, but what about Kaddish for your father? So, you know, the first of Kaddish is to get the father again. He said, the Kaddish is to get the Nifter out of Gehenna. He said, my father? He was a really good Jew. I don't think he's in Gehenna. That's classic Rav Schechter. He's right, but most people wouldn't say that. I knew Rav Schechter's father. I learned the Avelos by Rav Schechter's father. He was a very good Jew. So that's what he says. I don't think my father's in Gehenna. Okay.
In terms of the Mace Russia, why don't we say that after the person dies, all his sins are forgiven and he's.
The Gemara actually discusses that explicitly in the Masechet Sanhedrin, in the Sugyas of Mises Desdin, and says that no, because his sins aren't forgiven until after he's buried, and already it's too late for Avelos to be chal.
I'm sorry that I'm asking so many questions, but is an abusive parent the same as the Mace Russia here, or is that a different category?
Abusive parent is tricky because abusive parent is tricky in many ways. But because there's two different halachic categories that you have to take into account in possibly abusive parent shilas. In general, I think like most psychologists will tell you, I'm not a psychologist, most psychologists will tell you that once the abusive parent dies, what might be healthiest is for the kid to let go of, to be mochel what he has against him, because that would make it easier to move on. You know what they say about, like, if someone did something terrible to you, as long as you are still holding it against them, they're still controlling you, even if they live 1,000 miles away, because you can't have peace until you get back at them. You know, if once you let it go, you're actually free of their clutches. But again, we're not being psychologists here. There are two Shilohs. One is, does this make the abusive parent a rasha to the point where no one has a chiyuv? And if everyone wants to, they can do what they want, but no one has a chiyuv. And number two is, could it be that the child is just potter because it's a mitzvah say, and there's a limit to how much you have to sacrifice your mitzvah say, and the emotional, the mental sacrifice is too great? Those are two questions that have to be dealt with very carefully. And, you know, part and one of the other issues that comes up is, what does abusive mean? You know, there's many different definitions of abusive parent.
Which, easiest is probably they sexually abuse their kid.
Yes, correct. The easiest is the guy was momish, like did something that like anyone would lock him in jail for a million years for. But not all cases are so, I don't mean to say easy to evaluate. Not all cases are so easy to evaluate, and especially nowadays, the word abuse can mean many, many, many different things. And, you know, not everything someone calls abuse nowadays necessarily makes someone a rasha. Maybe it makes them insensitive. Maybe it makes them someone with bad judgment. That's not the same as a Russia Marusha, but subjectively to the kid, it might be. And that's where there's a difference in the objective evaluation of the parents and the subjective evaluation of the kid. There might be parents who are like, I think he did really, really bad parenting, but I'm not going to call him a Russia. But as far as this kid is concerned, like, they just can't live with, you know, they commit suicide if they have to go to their father's funeral or whatever. So then you would take more of the second into account. Anyway, these are sensitive issues which you have to think hard about when they actually come up. Not to mention the fact sometimes you get questions of just Metzius. I don't know what happened because there are different versions of the story. And then in judging whether the person's a Russia or not, clearly you can't judge anyone a Russia unless you have clear edus. In judging whether this individual can treat this person as a Russia, so maybe this individual can act based on what they know. And certainly, even if everyone else can't. And certainly in judging this individual's emotional difficulties, obviously that only depends on their subjective perspective. So this gets complicated, and so we'll leave the rest.
The Russia that we're referring to?
The Russia we're referring to is, let's say someone who's like clearly Russia, let's say someone who's shmadid, you know, who converted out of the religion, someone who, you know, is like a Russian, does a vigorous that no one in society does. You know, he's, I don't know, he raped his kids and murdered people and whatever, and, you know. Or, you know, once upon a time, someone doesn't keep Shabbos back in the day when, you know, you weren't a king of Shanish but a secular society, etc. In any case, Kaddish. The Evan Shom says he's Mochel Kaddish, Mochel Kaddish. Kaddish is clearly not. I mean, they say it's an emotional catharsis, whatever, but that's not the original idea. Kaddish to get the father out of Gehenna. So it's clearly for the covenant of the father. So if he's Mochel, he's Mochel. So Tak, if he's Mochel Kaddish, then he is Mochel, because, you know, it's only for him. It's not for the kid. It's only for the father. However, we don't paskin like that, Evan Shoham. There, the Shur Chalkas Yaakov, if you look, in the new Shur Chalkas Yaakov, I think it's Yoredeya Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. In the old Shur Chalkas Yaakov's, it's a Yaakov Breish from Switzerland. It's Chelik Beisim and Tzadik Gimel. Then they made a new one, and they instead of Chalokah, they did, Or Chaim Yoredeya, Eben Ezra Choshen Mishpats. So it's either Chelik Beisim and Tzadik Gimel, the old ones, or Yoredeya Reish Lamed Aleph, the new ones. He says, and all the modern day posts can quote him, he says no. If someone says, don't be maspid, you know what? Not everyone likes a hesped. Someone says, don't keep your base chodesh. Not everyone likes your base chodesh. Someone can honestly say, I'm the kind of person who, it really doesn't bother me if my kids go to parties, you know, a month after I die. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't need people to talk nicely about me. Those are all reasonable things someone could say. Says Chalkas Yaakov, no one could really not want to get out of Gehenna. Says, you know why? The only reason a parent could say, don't say Kaddish to me, is because they're a kofer and they don't believe in Gehenna. But once they get there, they're going to change their mind. And therefore, he says that we assume that no one could really not want Kaddish said for them, because only if they're a kofer, and then once they get to Gehenna, they change their mind. Or whatever, maybe they're not a kofer, maybe they're just naive. And they say, me? I never did anything wrong, I'm not going to Gehenna. And they don't realize realize that all of a sudden they end up Gehenna, and now they say that was stupid of me to be mochel on Kaddish. Therefore, he says the assumption is that he didn't really mean to be mochel on Kaddish, and therefore we don't listen to someone who's mochel on Kaddish because it's not a reasonable thing that someone could really mean. It's only a tos. And we don't listen to a tos. And the minig is like the Chalkos Yaakov against the Seven Shoham that we assume be mochel on Kaddish is a tos, and therefore we still say Kaddish.
Somebody was really a tzaddik.
I never heard of someone who's really tzaddik being mochel on Kaddish.
You mochel on the amount of Kaddishim, like versus like one a day versus like every single tefillah?
That's an interesting question. The Chalkos Yaakov also points out, by the way, that he throws in at the end, although this is not a valid halakhic reason, he says, and also there's many people who like are only connected to Judaism because they say Kaddish and their parent dies, and if we let people in Mocha, we lose all the Jews. It's not as true as it once was, but it still is very true. You know, we know a lot of people in the modern Orthodox community who would have stayed connected to Judaism, but never went to Minyan, and then their father died, and they started going to Minyan 3 times a day, and they kept it up. Sometimes I'm always disappointed with the guys. That's it, 11 months, no more Minyan for me. See you on Shabbos, Rabbi. But there are a lot of people. I've actually heard people say it, b'zeh halashon, and it's made me wince. But there are a lot of people who are like, oh, this Minyan thing, you know, like, I think that's the right way to do it. That's the right way to do things. And they keep it up. And certainly, you know, non-Orthodox Jews, for sure, get much more involved when they are saying Kaddish, and often that makes the connection. Okay, that's not a halachic reason. That's just another factor. What if someone says, I'm mochel, you know, you don't have to go to Minyan 3 times a day. Once a day is enough. Would we listen to them if they said that? My intuition is yes, although I haven't seen it discussed in the postgame. They're not saying don't get me out of Gehenna. And it doesn't actually say anywhere how many Kaddish you need to get someone out of Gehenna. You know, we just like, you know, the more the
average Avil says like ten times more Kaddishim than like anyone back in the day.
Correct, right. Not to mention the fact that, correct, back in the day, only one Avil said at a time, and clearly no one said so many Kaddishes every day. So saying Kaddish doesn't mean every single time, which is right. Why Rav Schefter really said, my father's a good Jew. Didn't he actually care about doing what Jews have been doing for hundreds of years? Yeah, but for hundreds of years, only one guy said Kaddish at a time, and you said Kaddish every few tefillahs, not every single tefillah. Ena Hanami.
There are better people back then.
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no.
You can't have all like the cholera outbreaks yet to cause everybody to say all the college.
Yeah, there people died a lot in the old days. Okay, Yud Aleph. Isar Tlisha Sevachin Shrit Al Mesim Kof Pei. Okay, just giving you a footnote. Ha'am Oskim Behesped called Zman Shah Mes Motel of Name, the Shmatha Echad 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 Kornish Shmav was Palim, Ana Mes Motel of Name, Hain Yoshev Korin, Vonin Yoshev Domain, Hain Omni was Palim, Humatzikalov S. Ha Din, Vomer Yrothim Hanecha Hashem, Elokai Shetigar, the same as Uncle Mes Rav Rachman. Meaning, if the people at the funeral and it's time to daven, this actually can happen. Someone gets to a funeral, they're late, it goes late, whatever, all of a sudden they say the sun is setting, they're going to miss mincha. So do you say, oh, sek mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, or not? So here, Chazal made a judgment that no, if there's a lot of people at a funeral, then you take shifts, people go out, usually nowadays it doesn't come up, it's not like everyone's in the same boat. If there's a few people at a funeral who didn't have mincha, they should leave and not mincha. You don't say also mitzvah part of a mitzvah because there's a big crowd even without them. And if no one daven mincha, then they should take shifts. You know, 3/4 stay in, 1/4 is out, then daven mincha, then they shift, etc. And that's what the mace is. If the mace isn't there, then they just stop the hesped and daven, except for the oni. And that's only before kfura, when it's a bigger mitzvah. After kfura, if you have a spadim, then you stop for kriya shema or tefillah. Yodalad, enos and shteis spadim v'yachzal, and kiyosh rov am lechol gishayim v'yibachol hesped am kdei tzarko. Okay, he's obviously talking about smaller cities than Yerushalayim or New York. Yerushalayim in New York, you have, you know, who knows how many has spadim every day. But the point is that if you are in a situation where people are going to have to choose which hesped to go to, and the mesim are not going to get the proper kavod, then you can't schedule this beidim at the same time. You have to schedule them at different times. I don't know how often it applies nowadays, but it could be like it's the same exact crowd. Then you can't have two competing funerals. Let's say you have a small shul, and there are two funerals at the same time. One of them should change the time.
What's the din of that? Like, because in theory, if I, let's say, the one has one funeral from, you know, 1 to 2, and then another one from 2 to 3, half the people are going to leave.
If it's in the same place, then it's fine.
Okay, so you use your common sense. Likewise, if you don't have enough speakers, there's enough people for both funerals. Enough, plenty of people for both funerals, and not enough speakers. Then also, you can't make them at the same time. Tes Zayin. This is a big halachah l'maaseh that people often ask about. That's a big halachah in the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to talk divrei Torah in front of the mace. And like 2 days in the Gemara, you're not allowed to talk divrei Torah. Kol shekein, you can't talk divrei chol. Or no, you're not allowed to talk divrei Torah. That's Lord the Rush. I'm talking Torah, and you can't. Divrei Chol, I'm talking Divrei Chol and you can't? Well, good for you, because it's better not to talk Divrei Chol. So I'm not making fun of the mace. Baruch Hashem, the mace isn't talking Divrei Chol anymore. So it is a machlokes, and it's machlokes Rishonim had a paschim. Without chazrim gold Rishonim, let's just go to Shulchan Aruch. Ein omer b'nei mace al dvarim shel mace. That's the lashon words. You can't talk in front of the mace except for things about the mace. He goes tzarchik for us of a hesped, like talking about burying him or making a hesped. Now, but are we talking about only Divrei Torah or even Divrei Chol? It says Machaber. Well, Shar Kol Davar Aser. Anything not about the Mace, you're not allowed to talk about. I mean, the Divrei Torah, only Dalmo Leslan Ba. That's only in Divrei Torah. But Stam, Divrei Chol is fine because the Mace doesn't, it's not making fun of the Mace when you talk Divrei Chol and he can't because it's not a good thing to talk Divrei Chol. He's not missing out on much, right? The Mace doesn't have, what are they saying now? The Mace doesn't have FOMO from Divrei Chol. Yeah.
But he has FOMO from eating?
What?
He's FOMO from eating?
That's a good question.
Like, I'm going to be lowering for other reasons. Because only you're eating, you're not taking care.
No, he said it was only by relatives.
So I think the answer is going to be that eating, which is about living, because eating gives you energy to live, that's already more making fun of him. Divrei Chol, which is not fundamental to living, is just stam shtus. That's not making fun of him. I think that's a good hesper. I just made it up now, but it's a good hesper. Okay. And if you think it's not a good hesper, then give me a better one.
He is more enjoyable.
You're allowed to disagree with me. No one ever has to agree with me. But expect...